Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially verses 2 through 5. Jesus said, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is our text. You may be seated. Hopefully you know me well enough by now to know that I'm not really one for gimmicky sermons, but this idea of discerning between God's voice and the voice of strangers, or the voices not from God, is kind of intriguing to me. So what I want to do is give you a little test. I'm not grading it, so that's good. I'm going to read 10 quotes, and I want you to try to determine which of these voices come from strangers, thieves and robbers, as Jesus describes them, false teachers or false prophets, we might call them, and which are from the voice of our Lord. I think this will be pretty easy for you, so here we go. Number one, I didn't stop sinning until I finally got it through my thick head that I wasn't a sinner anymore. All I ever thought was to say, "I'm a poor, miserable sinner." I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner. Number two, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Number three, my attitude is this: I'm a child of the Most High God. My Father created the whole universe. He has crowned me with favor. Therefore, I can expect preferential treatment. I can expect that people will want to go out of their way to help me. Number four, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Number five, surround yourself with only people who are going to lift you higher. Number six, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Number seven, Scripture teaches that receiving Christ as your personal Savior does not necessarily make you a child of God, but if you choose to do so, the power, authority, and right to do so is present. Number eight, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Number nine, what does God have to pay for the price of this thing, for sin? He has to have a man that is like the first one. He's got to be all man. He cannot be a god and come storming in here with attributes and dignities that are not common to man. He can't do that. It's not legal. Number 10. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you hadn't guessed, the even-numbered statements are from Scripture, while the odd-numbered ones are from various non-biblical sources. Voices of individuals who sadly command a lot of attention in this country in our day and age. And I tried to pair a false teaching with a scriptural teaching that sort of contradicted what those false teachers claimed. Now, for most of you, I'm sure it was easy to hear the distinction, to discern the false voice from the true ones. But truth be told, we are inundated with voices. On the radio, television, newspapers, in the bookstores, on friends' Facebook pages. Consider something from our secular world, namely this pandemic we're all dealing with at this time. You've no doubt read things, heard things about the situation, heard things about this particular virus, how it spreads, how dangerous it is, etc. And many of the things we hear from so-called experts often seem to contradict what we hear from other experts. Even on something as important as the health of our citizens, we have many conflicting voices. It's not always clear in this world, in this life, which voices we should be listening to and which ones we should reject. Unfortunately, it can be the same with those who claim to be experts in spiritual matters, matters of faith, matters of God. There are so many voices that even we might be confused or at least given pause to question some belief we hold dear by the words of some slick false teacher. On the one hand, if someone were to come up to you and say that Jesus Christ was not a real person, or God doesn't love you, or the Bible is a fake, you would probably easily recognize that voice as a false one. Strangers is what Jesus calls those voices in our text this morning. We are not to listen. We are to listen only to the voice of our Good Shepherd. But on the other hand, what about those voices that are a little less strange? Those who maybe seem to say all the right words, who quote scripture, who deal in half-truths, who claim to be Christian, or claim to have received a special word from God. Voices telling us that we aren't sinful anymore, or that God just wants us to be prosperous in this life, or we are not yet God's children, or that we should discard people that God has placed into our lives, or that Jesus maybe wasn't truly God incarnate. Or perhaps slightly more subtle things like, God loves everyone, so who are you to judge? Or, God doesn't care what we believe as long as we're sincere. Or, the Bible was applicable to a particular time in a particular culture. Or perhaps the ever-present, God just wants you to be happy. Jesus says, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How do we know the voice of the shepherd? Fortunately, it is not some inner voice that we have to listen to or some subjective set of emotions that we need to be sensitive to. We know the voice of our Good Shepherd by repeatedly hearing it. It is the true word of God. It is Holy Scripture where we find the voice of our Good Shepherd. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Jesus prays to the Father for us, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is his voice. And the more we listen to that voice, the more we immerse ourselves in that word, the better we will be able to discern between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of strangers. The voice of our shepherd is a gift that we are to enjoy frequently. Christians often wonder how they are to study God's word, to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Obviously, hearing God's word preached and proclaimed is a good start. But Luther, I think, has a helpful way of looking at the life of Christians as we seek to discern the voice of our Good Shepherd. This pattern of studying God's word has three parts. In Latin, they are tentatio, meditatio, and oratio. Oratio is prayer, coming to God with petitions for ourselves and others, as we do in the service, as you do in your homes. Meditatio is meditation on the word of God, hearing scripture, reading scripture. Tentatio is the tough one. It means tension. It's something like an agonizing internal struggle. When a Christian prays for the Holy Spirit, when he meditates on God's word through which the Spirit works, then our enemy, the devil, will assault him and cause this tension. The devil hates God's word and so attacks Christians who are preoccupied with it. The devil hopes that through trial and temptation, suffering and affliction, opposition and persecution, that agonizing internal struggle and doubt will arise in the heart of those occupied with God's word. He makes it seem as if God is failing us, is not living up to his word, perhaps doesn't care. And it is then that we return to God in prayer, that we study his word, that we may hear the shepherd's voice throughout our lives. And what does that voice, what does God's word say to us? God's voice tells us we are poor, miserable sinners in need of a Savior, a shepherd, to guide us home. His voice tells us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man, begotten of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. His voice tells us that Christ died for our sins, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he rose again for our justification. His voice tells us that God has called you by name in your baptism, that you are his child, and that he continues to fight for you against all of your enemies, sin, death, and Satan. His voice tells us that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, that our names are written in the book of life. His voice tells us that we are to love one another as he has loved us, and to proclaim this salvation to all nations, baptizing and teaching. Through God's Holy Spirit, working through the word of God, we are able to listen and discern the voice of our good shepherd, and what good news that shepherd brings to us. May our good shepherd continue to lead you with his voice unto eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.